This morning, we're going to take a quick break from our normal Bible engagement series. When we were going through and talking about, you know, who was going to preach while Ryan was gone on his sabbatical, I was already scheduled to preach next week, and the elders were like, hey, we'll take a week. So the elders are going to be preaching on the 31st, and we're excited about that. And I get a message from Levi, and he says, hey, what would you think if we did a tag team on worship? I'm like, that's a fantastic idea. And so, and the leadership agreed. So this morning, we're going to talk all about worship, why we do what we do. And I'm going to kind of hit it from what worship is. And then Levi's going to come up a little bit later, and he's going to talk about what that looks like in our lives and how we play that out in a day-to-day life. And then we're going to come together and just kind of bing back and forth for a couple minutes. Now, it sounds like you're going to be here till 1 o'clock. I promise you. Yes, there are three parts to the sermon, but it won't be terribly long. So we've timed this thing out. I think we're good. But you guys, this is a momentous occasion, and not very many congregations can say this, that they have had a sermon by not one, but two Levites. Okay, so this is a momentous occasion, and I highly doubt any church can, I don't know, I mean, I can't prove it, but not very many churches can claim that. So this morning is all about worship, and I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about what worship is, and then, like I said, Levi is going to talk about what it looks like in our lives, and I feel like I'm talking in the third person up here, but I'm not. All right, so I want to start by asking you, what do you think of when you think of worship? And if you want to pop in there, that's fine. What do you think of when you think of worship?
Praising God.
Praising God, okay. Singing, yeah. Anybody else?
Prayer.
Hymns, yeah. Okay, so we think of worship simply as singing a song on Sunday. I mean, that's the first thing that many of us go to, is you know, the songs of the faith, right? But worship is so much more than just singing a song on Sunday. And we sing for a reason. And singing really is only the tip of the iceberg. And you know, like an iceberg, you see what's on the surface, but there's a whole lot more you can't see under the surface. Just ask the Titanic, right? There's a whole lot down there. There's a whole lot there that we don't see. And so we can look like a good worshiper, but still totally miss the point. I like what A.W. Tozer said, and he said this, man was made to worship God. And God gave to man a harp and said, here above all the creature that I have made and created, I have given you the largest harp. I put more strings on your instrument and I have given you a wider range than I have given to any other creature. You can worship me in a manner that no other creature can. And when he sinned, man took that instrument and threw it down in the mud. And there it has lain for centuries, rusted, broken, unstrung. And man, instead of playing a harp like the angels and seeking to worship God in all his activities, is ego-centered and turns in on himself and sulks and swears, laughs and sings. But it's all without joy, without worship. Worship is the missing jewel in modern evangelicalism. We are organized, we work, we have our agendas, we have almost everything. But there's one thing that the churches, even the gospel churches, do not have. That is the ability to worship. We're not cultivating the art of worship. It is the one shining gem that is lost to the modern church, and I believe that we ought to search for this until we find it. I just thought that was such a poignant and true statement. A lot of times we as a church, we come together and we sing, but are we missing the point? Your worship defined, the word worship comes to us from an Old English word meaning worthiness. And it's the idea of ascribing worth to something. When we worship God, we declare his worth. We declare how much he's worth to us. And let me grab my Bible. I brought it up here, but I forgot to bring it to this. So when I think of the word worship, I think of David in the Psalms. David gives us a beautiful representation of what worship is. But I think sometimes we get stuck. Because it's easy to look at worship and worship in the Bible and think, why on earth would God demand worship? Is he full of himself? Does he like just to hear his own name repeated over and over? Does he need a pick-me-up? Is he feeling down on himself? Like, why does the Bible tell us that we need to continually worship God? C.S. Lewis made a statement about, you know, when he first came to faith, how it baffled him why we continually would worship a God that is so great and why it was important. And after thinking these thoughts, he finally came to this conclusion, and he made this statement. He said, I did not see that it is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to men. And even in Judaism, the essence of the sacrifice was not really that man would give bulls and goats to God, but that by their doing, God gave himself to them. The bulls and the goats and those sacrificial givings were not for God. God didn't need the sacrifices. And the same is true for our worship. God does not need our worship. It's not necessarily for his benefit. It's for our own benefit. And it's supposed to be focused on him and him alone. David said in Psalm 96, so let's go there real quick. Psalm 96, and I'm a purist when it comes to these psalms. I know I could read one verse and probably make my point, but I really like reading them as a song. So don't worry, I'm not reading the 119th. We won't be here all day. All right, these are short songs. But it's like, you know, it's like just singing one stanza of a song. Like, I really want to hear the whole thing, right? All right, so let's take a look at Psalm 96. It says, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations and tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of our other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offerings and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. Again, we don't ascribe God worth because he needs the pick-me-up. We ascribe God's worth because he's already deserving of that worship. He is the only one worthy of all the glory. Worship then is us putting God in his rightful place. It's not anything to entertain us. It is us putting him in our rightful place. It's us approaching God and saying, you are in control and you are my king. It's us laying down our pride and placing all the glory in the one who deserves the glory. And I don't know about you, but when I'm wanting to get to know someone, I spend time with that person. And I'm talking time. Quality time. I remember when Amanda and I were dating, we probably talked on the phone at least every other day, if not every day. We were getting to know each other. I remember complaining to my dad one night. like, man, I was driving a little Dodge Neon, and it got great gas mileage, awesome gas mileage. And I complained to him one night. I'm like, Dad, I really think you might need to look at this car. He's like, what's wrong with it? I said, I am spending so much in gas. I said, I don't know if it's just not getting the gas mileage. And then he reminded me, son, you're driving a half hour to Connersville every other day. You're going to spend more in gas money, right? I spent time with her, getting to know her. And it's the same with God in our relationship with him. To get to know him, we have to spend time in his presence. We've got to spend time getting to know who he is. My point with all this is to show that to get to know somebody, you spend time, and it's no different, like I said. The times of worship where we can stop and spend quality time in God's presence, that's where we get to know him. It's in those quiet times of our day when we get to pray to him, to talk to him, to worship him, and to read his word. And this is something that David, again, talked about. And I told you I was going to use a lot of David's stuff today. He's kind of preaching the message, but that's okay, because it's from the Bible, so that's what I'm supposed to be preaching. So Psalm 27, if you'll look at that with me, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fail. Though the mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach in a high rock. And then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Teach me now to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path for my name. For they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. What was David doing here? The thing that he sought the most in life, it could have been a great kingdom, which he had, by the way. It could have been success, which he had, by the way. It could have been fame, which he had, by the way. But it wasn't. What do you say here? The one thing that he sought over everything else was to be in the presence of God. It was to be in the presence of God and spending time with him and communing with God and putting him first. And what's that whole song talks about? That God is going to protect him. That God's going to give him peace through the storms if he stays in his presence. And guys, that's the heart of worship, is being in that place where we spend that time with him and where we take time to stop. You know, I was reading this book in preparation for today, and it's an excellent book. I've not quite finished it yet, but the title is How to Worship Jesus Christ. It's by a guy named Joseph Carroll. But he talked about even like Mary and Martha. You know, Mary was super busy. Or I'm sorry, Mary was one at Jesus' feet. Martha was super busy, right? And Martha comes to Jesus and says, would you tell her to get up off her butt and help? This is the Levi version of this, right? Basically, is what she said. Like, she's not helping. I'm doing all the work. And Jesus says that Mary basically has made the right decision to be at his feet and to be in his presence. You see, worship is something that you're not just going to fall into. And I'm not going to go any further with that because I don't want to step on what Levi has to say this morning. But it's not something you just fall into. David was making a choice to spend time with his God in God's presence. And that can look like a multitude of different things, which Levi's going to get into in a little bit. He realized that if he could put God as his number one priority, if he spent time with God, that God would take care of everything else. God would teach him, God would protect him, and God would guide him. And this is what worship is, and that is putting God in his rightful place in your life and in our lives, and ascribing to him and giving to him that glory that only he deserves. This morning, as we have the band come back up, we're kind of doing this way to give us some time to put into practice what we're talking about. So this next song that we're going to be doing is called I Choose to Worship. And that's exactly what, it's a choice. You can come into church and we can sing the songs, but it's a choice for us to actually make that worship to God. And so I encourage you to stand up with us as we continue on in worship this morning.
My turn. You know, I told him before we had planned this, I went up to him, I said, hey, you know, what do you think about doing a split worship service and having us both tag team? And he goes, oh man, that's great. And as soon as I said that, I turned around and thought, you dummy. Because I can get up here and I can sing any song you want to, but then you say, oh, you're going to preach a sermon? I got to actually use words that I come up with myself? Yeah. So then I thought, well, great, here we go. But then I thought, you know, I get up here and it's not actually my words that are being said to you guys. I kind of put them together, but I didn't actually put them together. It's what God's word is moving in both of our hearts to do this morning. So then I thought, all right, it's not actually me doing this, so we can do this today. All right, so Levi, number one, talked about kind of what worship actually is, right? It's spending time, and I'm going to go a little bit more in depth than that, but kind of talking about how that looks in our day-to-day lives. Because it's one thing to know what it is and to say it. You know, we can say, you know, worship is singing, and that's, you know, the main thing we do on a Sunday. But it's much more than that. And we're going to look into how we can do that each day. So I've been going through a daily devotion called Everyday Worship, and it's by Switch, which is a ministry from Life Church. And they said, worship is all about responding to who God is and what he's done for us. We have to be so into God and so passionate about what God does that we can't help but respond, either through our actions or through out loud. And most of the time, we just think about singing out loud. So when we look at this, and even if we just talk about singing as a form of worship, you know, that's the obvious answer that we think of when we think of worship. But it can be much more than that. If we just look at this morning, of what Sunday morning worship is supposed to look like, and you come up to me and you say, Levi, how is worship supposed to be? Like, what are we supposed to be singing? What are we supposed to be doing? Here's my answer. The Bible doesn't really tell us, you know, exactly like you have to have this song, you have to do it in this order, you have to do all these things. It just tells us what other people did to worship as a model. So a couple different examples that I found. If you turn into the Psalms with King David in Psalm 150, that's kind of my go-to favorite one to just give a few examples. And it was my favorite verse growing up because, starting in verse 3, it says, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. praise him with the tambourine and dancing, praise him with the strings and flute, and my favorite part, praise him with the clash of cymbals and praise him with resounding cymbals. Now, you know I'm an instrument guy, so anytime the Bible says use instruments, I go, cool, we're going to use them. And if you even take just that literal meaning of all those instruments, just, you know, the cymbals and the trumpet and the flute and the harp and the tambourine and the dancing, odds are that's probably going to be a really loud service. I mean, just having all of that on stage alone, I mean, even when we have just like a trombone here up on stage, it just boosts the sound. So it's going to be loud, and that's okay. We're supposed to sing loud praises to God. If we look at the passage in Joshua 6, this is not necessarily a typical worship portion, but if we look at Joshua 6 with the Battle of Jericho, where Joshua was given the order to march around the city walls of Jericho for six straight days, and we see starting in verse 16, the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you this city." And in verse 20, when the trumpets sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Those people gave everything they had that day to praise God, because God had already said he'd give them the city. So they gave their entire voices. I imagine they were probably a little hoarse the next day from shouting that much. But they blasted the trumpets and lifted their voices and shouted to the Lord. Loud worship. On the opposite side of that, even within that same scripture, starting in verse 3, it says, "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the seven priests carry the trumpets and ram's horns in front of the ark." Notice the key word there is carry the trumpets, but not play them. So God gave a command to do this instead of shouting at first. In verse 10, Joshua commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So this army of people worship God by simply following his directions, by simply answering what he was wanting to do, following the orders to not make a sound to God and wait until the appropriate time. And singers join to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. So these people were singing, playing instruments, making a joyful, probably raucous and loud noise, and then all of a sudden they couldn't. They couldn't because the glory of the Lord, which was the cloud, filled the temple. These people in the temple were probably a little in shock, a little shook, in awe, and maybe a little scared of the presence of God visibly in the temple with them. I mean, if that happened right now, I'd just kind of go, what do we do? What do we do? Like God's here. Yeah. Ha. I'd look over to Levi and say, "Do we sing? Do we not sing? Do we just go to our knees and bow? Like, what do we do here? I don't know." So yeah, when they saw the Lord, they couldn't do anything. They were silent. Still worshiping, but silent. So what these last couple examples state to me is that sometimes worship just is about focusing our attention on God. Whether it's focusing during the singing of songs or when we can actually set aside time, when we aren't paying attention to anything else or thinking about other worries or anything else around us. All of the distractions fade away from our lives. And it's all about carving out time in what we have as our busy schedules to respond to what God has done for our lives. It's a choice that we have to make. to worship every day. We actively seek God and thank Him for what He's done. My wife, a couple years ago, got the chance to see Hillsong live in concert a couple years ago. And when she came back, she told me that being in that field house with all those people singing together and worshiping God together, she said it was so powerful hearing people singing together, all singing with all their voices together for God's glory. Or just one simple instrument playing a line. It boils down really when you want to say, okay, so what? How do we really worship? It's the intent behind what you're doing that makes it really worship. The intent to bring glory to God, no matter what it is. So we can really worship with anything if we have the right intent behind it. Yes, obviously there's singing, but there's other things. Maybe worship isn't just singing in the service. Maybe it's serving with the heart of doing this for the glory of God. Maybe it's serving in a needed position that you may not necessarily see throughout a Sunday or even throughout a week. Maybe it's behind the scenes. But serving the Lord in that with the right heart and mindset to say, yes, I am doing this for God's glory. I may not get any recognition for it while I'm doing it. Nobody may ever see it, but God will. And God will understand the intent on your heart if you do that. Maybe it's preaching and teaching, showing a younger generation of people how to worship. Maybe not necessarily by singing, but by doing. And showing them, hey, this is how we serve God. This is how we worship God. And maybe it's praying for our community. Maybe it's just carving out some intentional time where you sit and pray for people. That's still worship. Maybe it's sitting with somebody throughout a service. Maybe it's praying with them afterwards. Maybe it's just connecting with them, sharing your gospel story with them. That's still worship because we're honoring God with what we're doing. It's not just singing. Worship also doesn't have to look perfect, right? We get up here, and we may seem super polished when we play our instruments, but it's not perfect. I can tell you a number of different things that happen just for me personally when I'm worshiping that you could term a mistake or that happened during the service. But we're not about here for that. Worship doesn't have to be all put together. It doesn't have to look pretty. Okay, we sing a lot of joyful songs, but there are some songs that are about sorrow and about hard times that people go through that we sing because it helps us connect with God. It helps us focus. We even don't have to be put all together for worship. We just have to choose to worship, however that looks. God just wants however we worship to be real and honest and focused on Him, whether it's joyful or not. It just has to be total commitment and total surrender for God. And maybe that's us today. Maybe we got here this morning and we are super happy for worship and we were super excited. We got here, it's going to be a different type of sermon today and we were super pumped for it, and that's great. Maybe we had a lot going on right before this. And maybe we walked into the service today with our minds elsewhere. And maybe we thought, you know, I'm really not in the mood to hear a joyful noise today. That's okay. That's okay. But you have to focus wherever you're at, intentionally to God. And take whatever we're doing. And maybe the songs aren't lining up with how you're feeling at that point. That's okay. Pray that to God. Say, God, look, I'm really not in the right mind frame of this for this right now. But can you help me get in the right mind frame for you? That's still worship. That's still focused attention. So we talked about what worship is. We talked about how it is. Then we'll get into the why and just actually practicing that. So as the band comes up here for the next song, I'm going to pray for us and pray that we have a focused attention, if you'll bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to just set aside time as a group to just focus our attention on you. Whether that be just focusing on your word or focusing on the songs we're singing or just focusing on praying what you can do for our lives. Lord, we just pray that it's focused, because that's what matters the most. It's just our focused attention on you. And I pray that as we continue on through today and this morning, and not just this morning, but through the rest of this week even, that we can just focus on what you're doing for us. And I pray that we recognize that throughout the week. We might not recognize it right away, but the reason why we worship is for you, God. What we do is for you. However that looks, whether it be loud and joyful, or whether it be sorrowful and softer, we just pray that it's focused. Focused to you and your glory and what you do for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Levi.
Hey, Levi.
All right, so we thought it would be kind of cool just to kind of end up our time a little bit before we dive into just a little bit of a worship time. Because I don't know about you, but I like it when we have a couple at least at a time to kind of get into worship, because I feel like when we do a song, sit down, do a song, sit down, it gets kind of lost and I don't get focused in. But we wanted to kind of talk about the heart behind worship, right? Mm-hmm. And I hope you have your notes, because mine are
MIA. I got some notes.
But no, we wanted to talk about a couple things. Ah, there's my notes.
Found it.
Found them. Okay, I knew they were there somewhere. So, should we bring up somebody?
I think we should. Yeah.
Ellie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ellie Jennings, are you still here?
She in here?
Did she just leave? Oh, well, wait. I'm kidding.
We can wait. That would be awkward, wouldn't it?
So hopefully she hurries. All right, so we're gonna do something with Ellie. Okay, so you wanna kinda explain what we're
We're gonna celebrate Ellie. Just for a moment. Just
Ellie
congratulate.
Doesn't know we're doing this.
She doesn't know.
Be a really good surprise when she walks in the door.
She may not come up here, I don't know. She might be mortified. Who knows? But she's got a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, she does.
Just got done with the end of the grading period. I mean, she's got like, what, 4.0 GPA?
That's what she said, 4.0.
Yeah, 4.0.
They just won their soccer game the other day.
Won a soccer game?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. That's a lot to be celebrated for.
That's a lot to be celebrated for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, but when she comes in, hi, Ellie.
Hey.
We're talking about you.
Come on up.
We can do this because we know Ellie.
Yeah.
Well.
Come on up, Ellie.
Come up here for a second.
Come here.
Just come on.
See, I told
that
you.
That is something that she probably never expected to have happen on a Sunday morning.
Come on up. You're not in trouble.
All right.
We're just stand right here.
Like Levi said, we're gonna celebrate Ellie and her accomplishment.
Yeah.
But Levi, I want to put some ground rules on this. You're not allowed to clap.
What?
I know. You're not allowed to shout.
Huh?
You're not allowed to stand up.
Well, good thing I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
Can we say anything?
You can just keep your arms folded. If you want to. That's an option.
Sit, arms folded.
So on the count of three, we're going to celebrate Ellie. Okay?
But we can't shout.
We can't clap.
We can't hoop and holler. We can't whistle. No, we can't blow the air horn like at graduation. We can't.
No. I've got an air horn, but let's not.
It's okay.
It's really loud. Ask the youth group. I blow that thing out.
Uh-huh.
Gets their attention, though. All right. On the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3. That's awkward.
I, what do we do?
That's awkward.
That's really awkward, isn't it? Yeah. That's awkward.
But
We can go ahead and
can
give
we
her
actually
a
do yeah, it now this time?
You can clap now. You can clap.
Good
yeah,
job.
All right. Good job.
You go have a seat. Yeah. Good
she's
job.
She's still thinking, what
she's
am I
still,
up here for?
She didn't hear any of that praise that we gave her.
Nope.
She has
nope.
no clue why she was up here. No
all
idea.
Right. But why did we do that, Levi?
Well,
there was a point to that.
There was a
I promise
point
you.
To this. You know, it goes to kind of worship and the intent behind it. You know, we worship on a Sunday or we worship throughout the week, but sometimes we don't praise God. We don't lift our voices
yeah.
like we want to. We don't show or express our gratitude for that. We
yeah.
just kind of, we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and it's something that, you know, I deal with this when I go to different churches. I have to watch myself because mm-hmm. I'm a techie nerd. I really am. I'm through and through. Like when I go to a different church, sometimes even our own church, I can get myself so caught up in the production of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, you know, I hear that one microphone in their system that's buzzing and it's driving me insane, right? And so through all worship, that's what I'm thinking about of. That sounds bad. I could fix that. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's true. We get our minds off of what we're here for. You know, sometimes it's offense. Maybe we're angry at somebody, and that's all we're thinking about through worship. And so, you know, we wanted to show that, you know, we should worship God. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to do if we're not letting ourselves actually worship.
Right. Because if God's done all these things in our lives,
exactly.
why not congratulate God?
I mean, yeah, well, yeah, it's
really,
that's describing that word, right? Like, we wouldn't, you know, when our favorite teams, I don't know much about sports, but I do know they score points.
They take the ball across the court and somebody
so if
cheers.
They score a point, or, you know, kick a field goal, or whatever that's called.
Whatever that sports
right?
ball stuff happens.
So
yeah.
you hear the crowd goes wild,
mm-hmm.
right? And it goes down to this, guys. God has scored some major points, right? He's done
yep.
some major things in each and every one of our lives. And I know, and I can speak to that because he's done major things in my life. And so why we would not have that same passion and that same drive to worship him, it eludes me sometimes. Like, because and I'm guilty of it too. Like
mm-hmm.
I find myself some Sundays simply going through the motions. And I can go through the motions no matter what the song. It could be my favorite song to worship with. And sometimes it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of Paul and Silas, you know, in prison. What were they doing? They were worshiping. And they weren't trying to, like, entertain the guards to let them out. Right? They were just worshiping God. They were spending time in his presence. And God showed up big time. You know, and shook the prison. And I'm sure that they could, I mean, if I were sitting in prison, and, you know, those prisons weren't the kind of prisons we have today with, you know, the four square meals and cable TV, like, this, these were sewers, you know, that they were thrown into and shackled in, and they still praised God no matter what the circumstances, you know, they still found something to praise God for, and so when we approach worship, you know, sometimes we're in the, like you said, we're in that time frame of mind of, you know, like, I don't feel like I have much to worship for. You know, we come in, we're tired, we're dealing with medical stuff, we're dealing with, you know, life throwing at us, and it's easy to get, yeah, I'm not feeling it. But just like Paul and Silas, you know, I'm sure they weren't feeling it, but they did it.
And that goes along back to the, you know, intent of what we're doing. If we do recognize that that's happening, we're like, hey, I'm not in the worship mindset.
Yeah.
Connect with God and
yeah.
say, look, God, I'm not in the mindset to worship. How can I connect with you this morning?
Yeah.
Pray that.
Yeah.
It has to have meaning behind it. Like, if we don't worship with meaning, then what's the point?
We're just singing songs.
We're just singing.
Yeah.
Like, for me, when worship has meaning, I'm an instrument guy. So all I listen to normally is just the instruments, you know, how the melody and the harmony works together and all those things formulate together. That's what I'm focused on. And for the longest time, probably up until college, I have to admit, I only focused on that. I didn't care what the words said. I could listen to the melody of the words and how the notes went up and down. I'm like, oh, that's a cool melody, and I'd sing along to it. But I wouldn't put any meaning to those words being formulated together. I would just worry about the music and how it sounded itself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I actually started listening to lyrics of a song or listening to words being said that I thought, oh, wait, these actually do mean something, what I'm trying to sing.
Yeah.
And so it mattered what I was singing.
To that point, I've often used the illustration of, you know, a lot of times we listen and we consume stuff without thinking about what it's communicating to us, you know, and while the melody and that can be really catchy, sometimes we don't look at the lyric, right? Mm-hmm. We don't look at the content of the song, and if you would really look at some of the content of, especially some of these worldly songs, if you're filling your mind with that all the time, you know, that's kind of anti-worship right there.
Mm-hmm.
But they affect you more than you know. And so making sure that you know what you're singing, and you really, you know, if that's directed towards God, then that's a good thing, and you need to know what that, you know, what you're communicating to God. That's why, you know, when we're picking songs for a church service, it's really important that we get a song that, number one, is glorifying to God, and number two, that is theologically sound, right? Because we're directing you guys to sing this stuff, and it's our job as, you know, worship leaders to make sure that we're being careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something huge.
And it's always kind of funny because we spend the time picking the songs, but we have no clue what God's plan is.
Yeah.
On a Sunday. And so we pick the songs and, you know, we think, oh, this song will go well with this one. This one will go well with the theme that we have. But then all of a sudden God just steps in and goes, use this song. And then it just kind of fits.
I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, thinking and praying through what songs to pick for Sunday. And one will come up and I'm like, okay, God, that really doesn't have to do with the verse that we're talking about. I don't think, you know, like, okay. And, you know, just it clicks with something that was said or done in the service, and it just is a powerful moment of worship because God knows what he's going to do, right? Mm-hmm. We just need to get out of the way. And I think that's something when we enter into worship is us getting out of the way,
mm-hmm.
right? And letting him take control and letting him move in our lives and realizing that our worship is not about us.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if we sing a song, we may think, oh, that doesn't really fit with what we have planned. But God may say, no, but the person next to you, they need to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they need to hear this verse.
Yeah.
Or they're going through this, that this is going to encourage them.
Yeah. I, going off of that, you know, I was talking with a minister that I used to work with, and he was talking about how many times we repeat a verse or repeat a chorus, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. like, sometimes I'm bad about the poor people running slides. Dan is a saint, and everybody who runs slides when I'm leading worship, they're a saint, because you don't really, they like to have, you know, we're going to do verse and the chorus and verse and chorus and chorus, and I don't always stick to that.
Yeah.
I'm bad about that, and I tell people, either it's I'm forgetful or God's moving. Either way, sorry. And that's what I tell everybody then when they're new in the back, like
including us on stage
with
him.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes
I'm
that
sorry.
Happens. Yeah.
But why we repeat things, and I really think that it's good, you know, when you're teaching something to somebody, repetitiveness is important. Over, over, and over, and over. The Bible uses that in scriptures, right? Like you see things repeated several different times if it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say there are some songs that repeat, and it really doesn't, it's not beneficial, and it repeats too many. I remember a song back in the day, it was, I'm going to dance in the river, yeah. That's the entire lyric of the song.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm going to dance in the
river.
I tried
it once, it was not good. Mm. Too much. But, but, you know, that repetitiveness sometimes, If you hear me repeat a chorus more than, you know, and you notice the slides are off, that means they weren't expecting that extra chorus, but I needed that extra course, or you know, I just felt like God was leading, hey, let's do this course again. Because sometimes we're very hard-headed. I'm talking to myself here, and I need to hear that a couple different times. Mm-hmm. I may need to hear he is good several different times, several different ways, before it gets through my head and gets through to my heart and really makes the difference in my spirit. Like it takes sometimes to chip away at what we're dealing with. You know, we come in with baggage, whether we like it or not. And sometimes it takes a little bit to get through those baggage straps to cut through. And I think that's the importance of some, I mean, you can also go too far with the repetitiveness and just do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. But some repetitiveness is important.
Well, and to stem off of that, worship is also something that's organic. You could come into a service feeling one way, and then as the service progresses, as you go through the lyrics of a song and a sermon, you can totally have a heart change, not just a mindset change, but a heart change of how you're worshiping that day. So yeah, sometimes we do have to change it on the fly.
I was gonna read this passage in Isaiah. You know, we were talking about going through the motions and how a lot of times it does kind of feel that way to us. And the importance of really focusing our heart in on worship. If you look at Isaiah chapter 1, God's saying this, "Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah." Now, he was not talking actually to Sodom and Gomorrah there. He was talking to Israel and Judah. So for him to call them that was pretty, he was showing he was not happy, right? He says, "What makes you think I want all your sacrifices?" says the Lord. "I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they're all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stay in them. When you lift up your heads or your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are like red crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken." Now, that's a scathing review on their worship. But why? Because they were going through the motions. Their heart was far from God. And that's what we're getting at with this whole heart of worship thing is we can look like we're doing all the right things. I can sing every song at church. I can, you know, read my Bible three times a day. But if I'm not letting it get here, and if I'm not following after him, and if I'm not doing those things that God's told us to do, if we're not following after his word and putting him first in our lives, it's all meaningless. Mm-hmm.
And if we could go back, you said something a little bit ago. We have to get ourselves out of the way with that intent. And so I think this is maybe like the last point that we wanted to touch. Yeah. Is if you look at Revelation 4, starting in verse 9, it says, "Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the Lord, before the throne, and say, 'You are worthy, our God and Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" So in this passage, these elders, these kings, took themselves out of the picture, took their crowns, and actually laid them down and said, "We're not kings anymore. God is the king.
Yeah.
And just taking ourselves out of the equation for worship, I think, is getting to that heart of what we're trying to do. The heart of worship, the intent of worship, is just backing out of the way and letting God take over.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's that spending time in his presence. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, when I was growing up, I was blessed to have a great father. I mean, my dad is an amazing dad. And when I was a little kid, I just wanted to spend time with him, right? I didn't have to be doing anything, right? Just following him around. Now he drugged me and he made me do some house remodeling projects when I got a little older, and I kind of resented that, but I don't now, because it saved me a whole lot on repairs on my own house. I learned that from spending that time with him, you know, whether I realized that or not. You know, I learned from him by spending time in his presence. And that's exactly, you know, what we're talking about doing, and that's what we're getting ready to do here when we jump back into just a few short songs here of spend that time. Like Levi mentioned, take yourself out of the, like, realize that our worship, it's not about what makes us feel good. It's about what glorifies him. And so I think we should jump into some worship.
I think we should.
Yeah. We only went 5 minutes over with that. It's not bad. Okay, because we were worried about that part.
Yeah.
That's like,
you
get a
couple.
You
get us together?
Yeah.
We're here forever.
We talked for 2 hours on this yesterday, so you got the short version. All right, let's stand up as we worship God tonight. Or tonight.
It's not
been
late.
That long of a morning. All right, let's worship God this morning.